This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to another episode of the John Whitmer Show. Great, great night, afternoon, Sunday for football. Thank you for joining us. I'm just glad not to be preempted. So I'm happy to be here behind the not so golden, not so EIB microphone, but I'm still here, glad to be here. Happy you joined us tonight here at your liberal resistance headquarters. If you'd like to join us, you can reach me at 316-869-1330. We'll try and take your calls as much as we can, although we are going to be busy with some great guests tonight. 316-869-1330 by email, john@knssradio.com. On Facebook, at The John Whitmer Show. Same with True Social. And on X, at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from you, next Sunday, we're doing another live remote at AFP's headquarters at Union Station downtown. And it should be another great show. We will have a bunch of guests with us. Going to do some live local election previews with a bunch of candidates. And another repeat of my Hannity and Combs, for lack of a better way of predicting it or promoting it, with Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle, who seems to think that all Republicans are racists. So we'll have that conversation with Dion next Sunday at AFP's headquarters. So we'll be doing another live remote at AFP. Come join us. We love having a last time we had a huge audience. I always enjoy having you come and join us while we broadcast. We'll put folks on the air. We'll take calls. We'll take questions live. Dion will be there. We'll have some fun and try and explain to Dion how just being a Republican doesn't make you a racist, sexist, homophobic bigot. So that's all coming up next Sunday. We'll have more information. We've already created a Facebook event, but that's all coming up next Sunday. Meanwhile, tonight, great schedule for you tonight. Eric Trump, executive vice president of the Trump Organization, will be with us. We'll discuss his new book, Under Siege. We've got a copy of the book. We will give that away later in the show. Eric Trump will be kicking off the 8 o'clock hour of the show, and he'll give us an inside look at the unrelenting political warfare faced by America's most influential and most scrutinized family. Philip Sarnicky will be with us to discuss his campaign for the GOP nomination for governor. He'll be with us here in just a few minutes. Veteran broadcaster Chris Salcedo will tell us why he says today's current Hispanic population is the left's worst nightmare, a Latino population that's awake, not woke. And Brett Anderson will be with us to discuss his campaign for Wichita City Council District 6. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So got a great crowd, great group of guests, and really looking forward to hearing from you. So good lineup. Can't wait to hear from you. But first, I want to talk about what went down yesterday on downtown Douglas. It was Wichita's second, albeit smaller, No Kings protest. And I don't know about you, but I was expecting more young, angry radicals chanting, you know, power to the people. Instead, what I saw looked more like the world's saddest 1969 high school class reunion. I mean, seriously, this was more a need for people looking for their dentures. It really was. It wasn't a tidal wave of revolution. It was more like a slow, nostalgic parade of old hippies in wheelchairs, clutching canes, and taking turns hitting the oxygen tank between chants. These folks have traded in their Molotov cocktails for walkers with a lot less fire and a lot more bathroom breaks. I mean, literally, if you watched the pictures, if you saw the videos, it was more about dentures than anything else. The most obvious takeaways from yesterday was the unmistakable sense of marijuana and Bengay. I mean, literally. That's what yesterday was. It's like Woodstock met a nursing home. I half expected them to start chanting, hell no, we won't go, unless it's 4 o'clock at Golden Corral. I mean, literally, that's what you saw. And here's the thing, though. Underneath the comedy, and believe me, it was comedy, this No Kings protest wasn't really about democracy or anti-authoritarianism. Let's call it what it was. It was a We Hate America rally. Because if you actually read the signs and heard the slogans and listened to the speakers, that's all it was. Hatred. Hatred for their country. Hatred for anyone who dares to love it. Hatred for anybody in a red MAGA hat. Hatred for people like you and me who still stand up during the anthem and believe this country is worth defending. They screamed fascist and Nazi and everything passing or wearing a MAGA hat. And when you ask one of them what a fascist is or what a Nazi is, they stare at you like you ask them to solve a fourth grade math problem. They can't define either of those words. It's the same tired left wing tactic. Shout the scariest word you can think of, hope it sticks, and move on before anyone asks a follow-up question because they're incapable of answering them. And it wasn't just the old crowd. There were a few Gen Zers sprinkled in here and there, looking dazed and confused and high, holding pre-printed signs they clearly didn't make. George Soros, no doubt, paid it for them, chanting words they couldn't spell and live streaming the world, the whole thing, to 6 people on TikTok. You couldn't tell half of them didn't even know why they were there. They just saw something anti-Trump and figured, hey, that might get me a few likes. Meanwhile, their elders, the 1960s burnout brigade, were reliving their glory days of rebellion, forgetting that back then, at least they had a cause. Now the only cause seems to be getting through the afternoon without a nap and a poopy in their pants. And here's the kicker. These people are protesting King Trump. They're chanting No Kings and pretending that they're defending democracy. Yet these same folks voted for Kamala Harris, stood by applauding while the Democrat Party pulled off the biggest political coup in modern history. They removed crotchety Joe Biden from the ballot, not because of a primary, not because of a vote, not because of democracy, but because a handful of party elites decided he couldn't win. And then they installed Kamala Harris as the nominee. No primary, no caucus, not a delegate earned. She didn't even face a single voter. Folks, that's not democracy. That's a coronation. Kamala Harris was crowned queen by the Democrat Party elite. And if you ask them about it, like my friend John Madison did yesterday, They actually defend their little Kamala Biden coup.
Kamala Harris to be the Democrat Party nominee?
Absolutely.
You did. What date was that?
What date
did you vote for Kamala to be your Democrat Party nominee?
Okay. I voted for her in the election.
I didn't ask you about the election. I said the primary.
Correct.
Okay. Did you vote for her in the primary?
She wasn't in the primary.
Why not?
Because Biden decided to retire.
Decided to retire all of a sudden, huh? So do you think it's right that a select few people all of a sudden just nominated Kamala to be the nominee?
I don't think
is that democracy?
I think.
Is that democracy?
She was his vice president.
She what?
She was his vice president.
Okay, what is that supposed to mean?
It's the common sense.
Common sense? So a select few should represent the majority. Is that what you're saying?
No.
What are you telling me then?
She was the best person at the time.
Says who?
Says me.
So says her. So because she says that it's okay, that makes it okay. So forgive me if I don't take seriously the lectures about kings from a crowd cheering on a woman who got the Democrat nominee thrown without a single vote cast. They want to talk about no kings, but their own party literally anointed her. It's no kings for Republicans, but queens for Democrats. And here's the part that really makes you shake your head, because as usual, you've got to follow the money. If you look at who's bankrolling these no kings protests, surprise, surprise, it's the same old left-wing cabal. Communists, socialists, teachers unions, the League of Women Voters, radical environmentalists, and every flavor of climate extremist you can imagine. The largest rally was in New York City. Because nothing says grassroots movements like being sponsored by multi-million dollar activist groups and foreign-backed climate lobbies. They call it No Kings, but what it really is a professional, prepackaged anti-American circus. You've got self-declared Marxists chanting about freedom. You've got unions that can't even balance a checkbook lecturing us about economic justice. You've got the same radicals who hate fossil fuels, but they all drove in their cars, chartered their private planes, and charged their phones using electricity made from natural gas. It's hypocrisy on parade. And here in Wichita, the heart of America, they thought they could stage their little demonstration and make headlines. But you know what most people did? They laughed. Because we see through it. We know who these people are. They're not freedom fighters. They're not patriots. They're professional protesters who've been wrong about this country for 60 years. And they'll be wrong for the next 60 years, too. You want to protest kings? Great. Start with the people running your own party, like a monarchy. The ones who silent dissent. The ones who decide candidates behind closed doors. Who made us wear masks and made us get vaccinations. Who closed schools while keeping abortion clinics open. Who forced us to get vaccines and forced us to close schools and closed businesses. Who tell you the words you're allowed to use. Who say men can play in girls' sports. Who can't define a woman, but then anoint one to be their nominee. What car you're allowed to drive and what pronouns you have to say. That's not liberty. That's leftism. The truth is, America doesn't have a king problem. It has a common sense problem. Too many people have traded in reality for ideology, reason for rage, and truth for tribalism. And while the No Kings crowd waves their homemade cardboard signs and screams about fascism, the rest of us, the people who actually work, raise family, pay taxes, and love this country, we're just shaking our heads. So let them have their little nostalgia march. Let them light their incenses and drink their soy lattes and roll up their tie-dye banners and shuffle home before the evening news comes on. Because while they're out pretending to save democracy, we're actually doing it. Because at the end of the day, this nation doesn't need kings, it needs patriots. And thank God we've still got plenty of those. We'll take a quick break. And then Philip Sarnicky will be with us to discuss his campaign for the GOP nomination for governor. And thank God we got some GOPs running for that. That's my definition of liberty. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity that we just had our Day of Action. Do it every third Saturday of the month. That was just this last Saturday. Had a lot of fun, a lot of great turnout. Don't forget, next Sunday, we'll be with AFP at their headquarters for our live broadcast. But if you want to get engaged, make a difference, it's a great way to get involved. We're out door knocking all the time. If you want more information about how to get involved and help educate voters, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow The John Whitmer Show and follow me on Facebook. It's a great way to get involved and get all the latest updates on the show. Well, every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for local, state, and federal office as we can so you have the opportunity to hear from them firsthand. We endeavor to invite every candidate registered on the ballot to appear on the show. Most accept our invitations, so each week between now and Election Day, we'll try to bring you a candidate or two. If there's someone in particular you'd like to hear from, please let me know, and we'll try to invite them on. That being said, joining us now is Philip Sarnicky. He's a Kansas businessman, a family man, and job creator who has built companies that today employ approximately 1,000 people across multiple industries. He founded and led RPS Financial Group, growing it into one of the largest financial services firms in the nation before selling the company. His wealth management company has more than $10 billion in assets under management in Kansas, and in its final year under his ownership, paid out more than $135 million in dividends to Kansas families and businesses. So basically what that means is the next time I need a loan, I know who to call. Phil, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, thank you, John. Great to be here.
So, you know, this is a question that I ask of all of my candidates, and in particular, someone like you who clearly doesn't need the job. I'm guarantee you it would be a pay cut. But why? Why would you subject yourself to the scrutiny, to the the onslaught from the press? Why run for governor?
Well, that's a great question. That's a question I asked myself for a long time, that exact question, actually, because, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm very blessed. I have a wonderful life. God has blessed us in amazing ways. And but, you know, number one, John, I got tired of losing. You know, we live in a state where Donald Trump won 58% of the vote. Actually, he won Kansas. Think about this, three times.
Right.
With large margins. We have not elected a Democratic senator in Kansas in almost 100 years. We are the longest running state without a Democratic senator. And for some reason, we have not been able to win the CEO job, the governor's job, which I think is the most important job in the state. And we've had a liberal Democratic governor for the last 7 years. And the people that are running and the people that I've supported in the past, they're good people. They really are. Heidi and I, my wife and I, we have helped try to get them elected. We have written them checks. We've hosted fundraisers. And I got tired of doing that with people that I believe are not ideally suited for a CEO job. There are, you know, you look at what President Trump has done federally, nationally, as an outsider, as an outside business leader. If you look around the country, when I actually started looking at this a couple of years ago, there were a dozen governors that had never run for office.
Glenn Youngkin. They were a perfect example.
Glenn Youngkin. Yeah. That's right. Who I know Glenn a little bit. I'm actually in a CEO group with Glenn. He was one of the people I talked to and discussed running for governor with before we decided to run. And then you have Bill Lee in Tennessee. You've got Kevin Stitt in Oklahoma. You got Pillen in Nebraska, Doug Burgum at the time. So you've got a lot of governors who came from the outside. They were business leaders. They were CEOs. And Glenn Youngkin actually told me something interesting last summer. He said, fundamentally, the governor's job is a different job than other political jobs. He said it is a CEO job. You know, it's he kind of joked. He said, it's called the executive branch for a reason. And so we have, I believe what we've done, we've taken, again, good people, but legislators, and tried to make CEOs out of them. And as I looked at the field, I realized I am the only one that's not a politician I've spent over 30 years building businesses, creating jobs all over the state of Kansas, including all around Wichita. I mean, we've, you know, whether it be insurance offices, investment, wealth management offices, Quick Lubes. I mean, we have offices in El Dorado. We built a Quick Lube in Andover, you know, Derby. I had a financial office in Hoisington, Kansas. You can just literally go around the state, and my wealth management insurance business has almost 100,000 clients in the state of Kansas, people who trusted our firm for their financial futures. And so if we're going to win this, it's going to take an outsider. It's going to take a new kind of leader, really, to bring a new day for Kansas. And where we are economically right now, we're in a really scary place, which if you want to talk about, we could. CNBC business rankings by state. You know, Moody's just came out last week and said we're one of 21 states already in a recession. And none of that's going to get turned around by a career politician, in my opinion.
You know, Phil, you attended recently the Chili Feeding Forum in Winfield. By the way, you came in, I think, second or third in the bean poll, which is a testament in and of itself. And I asked you one of the questions that I thought it was fair, but I thought it was a tough question. And it was, what do you say to Kansans who maybe say, you know, that for an outsider, you might, to people who are concerned that maybe you don't know how to get things done in Topeka, you don't know how to pass a bill, you don't know how that process works at the legislative level. And I'm curious if you wouldn't mind sharing your answer, because frankly, I thought it was a good answer.
Well, I think that's something politicians say to try to, you know, influence the voters. That's what they told President Trump. That's what they said about President Trump, right? That's what they said in Virginia about Glenn Youngkin. That's what they always say about outsiders to try to keep their power. And the reality is, it's not difficult to figure out how to pass the bill. It's negotiating skills. It's relational skills. It's the things that I spent 30 years doing in the business world. And that's what we'll bring to the table. It's about leadership. I mean, I had almost 1,000 employees across all of my companies. We had a presence in, honestly, I'm not even sure. Well, actually, we had clients in all 50 states. So it was, you know, it's a large organization. So I know how to run large organizations. I know how to run large budgets, build leadership teams, appoint really talented people. And let me mention the CNBC. I mentioned the Moose thing, but CNBC just a few weeks ago came out with their business ranking by state. They do it here. They ranked our economy in Kansas 48th in the country. They gave us an F, and they said we are the third most likely state in the country to go into recession. And then obviously, like I said, Moody's just came out and said we're one of 21 states already in a recession. So if understanding how to pass a bill leads us there, I'd rather not understand how to pass a bill, right?
Right.
This is about strong leadership. This is about getting elected. And we're very confident we're going to do that. It's also about raising money and having money, by the way, to put into the race, because one of the reasons we lost the last two cycles of governor's races is we got crushed from a spending standpoint. We just didn't have people who did a good job financially raising money or putting money in.
We're talking with Philip Sarnicky, who's one of the Republican candidates for governor. You brought up spending. Let's talk a little bit about taxes and spending. Is there anything at this point that the state can do about property taxes? And is there more that we can do to cut spending?
Well, yeah, there's a lot more we can do to cut spending. And what we are, and let me give you a lay of the landwork, not you. I know you know this, but for the listeners. So if you look at our border states, and I'll throw Arkansas and Iowa, which are technically not border states, but they're very close. These are the states we mostly compete with. We have the highest income tax rate of all those states for our personal income tax rate. We have the second highest corporate tax rate for all of those states. Our property taxes are 50% higher per capita on average than those states that I just mentioned. And by the way, you can throw in our electricity rates as well, which are dramatically higher on average than all those states, which is essentially a tax also. We are crushing our citizens in Kansas, the people of Kansas, the working families of Kansas, on from a tax standpoint. We've grown our total budget, not the general, but the total budget's about $26 billion, of which $10.5 billion of that has been added in just the last 7 years. Now think about that for a minute. Yet, we have not grown our population in Kansas. It grows at way under 1%. So essentially, it hasn't grown in like 2.5 decades. That is a recipe for disaster. That's why CNBC gave us an F and ranked our economy 48th. And Moody's said we're, you know, one of 21 states are in recession, because they looked at all of that, the same data that I'm looking at. And it is really, really hurting our people, the state of Kansas. And I'll tell you where I believe this fundamentally starts. I think it fundamentally starts at the level of starting and creating new businesses. It is extremely difficult in Kansas to start a new business. The bureaucracy, the red tape that it that you have to go through, the paperwork that you have to fill out. I'll give you two examples. I have a bunch of them because I've been talking about this a lot with, you know, people that I've been out there meeting with. And I had a lady that all she wanted to do was start a home daycare. Okay, this should be a very simple process. Now, you do a really good background check. You make sure, you know, it's not a crazy person. But it should take maybe, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks, let's say. It took her 2 years to get that started. Right? Now, that is inefficiency,
yeah.
at its highest. Here's another example. I have a chief operating officer of a company up here in the Kansas City area on the Kansas side, very, very successful guy. His wife speaks fluent Spanish, and they wanted to start a business where essentially she would train people to go out and then train other people, you know, how to teach Spanish. And they don't need the money. He's very successful, by the way. He's supporting me also. But he's very successful. They don't need the money, but they wanted to start this business. And he told me, he said, we probably would have employed around 15 people to do this. Well, they got it. It was over a year. They still hadn't gotten it done. And he said, we just gave up. We just said, we're not going to do it. It's just too much hassle and too much work. And so there's an example of a business that would have created 15 good, solid paying jobs. And because of the government bureaucracy and the red tape, you know, he couldn't get that done, and you know, they just gave up. So we've got to fix that, number one, because we don't have, if we're not growing our population, we're not growing our tax base, and so the people that live here have to take on an ever increasing burden to pay more and more taxes, whether it's property taxes, whether it's income tax, whether it's even corporate taxes. So if we start there and we can unleash this entrepreneurial spirit across the state of Kansas, which, by the way, I've been doing for 30 plus years, I know exactly how to do it. I've created businesses and jobs all over Kansas, big cities, small cities, you know, et cetera. And we can do that at the government level, too, if we trust our people and don't trust in government. And that's what our career politicians do. I mean, with all respect, they, you know, their trust is in government, and they don't even really understand how to look at it, to be honest with you. And so that's what I bring to the table, and that's what I'm really excited about doing for the people of the state of Kansas.
It's like the old saying that you know, politicians all too often are used to signing on the back checks and not on the front of checks. Phil, do you mind? I'm up on a hard break. Do you mind if we take a quick break and then we'll bring you back after the commercial? We'll take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Philip Sarnicky, who is one of the GOP candidates for governor. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. With us still is Philip Sarnicky, one of the plethora of Republican. It's a good thing. We're blessed. We've got a large group of very good candidates to choose from in next year's election for governor. Phil Sarnicky is one of those choices. Phil, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show, or with us still, rather. Let me talk to you a little bit about some of the basic platform issues. I know, we've talked and we had a chance to talk a little bit at the Winfield event, but where do you stand on basic platform issues like the Second Amendment rights and the right to life?
Yeah, well, I mean, do you want to know how many guns I own? Do we start there? I mean, I'm a huge proponent of the Second Amendment. I have a long history of, my father was in Vietnam and in the Army, and my grandfather was in the Air Force, and we own a farm down in Franklin County, outside of Rantoul, Kansas, and plenty of shooting goes on down there. And I think the Second Amendment's one of our obvious fundamental rights. It's critical to the freedoms that we enjoy. And at the end of the day, I'm somebody that, liberty, freedom is really the hallmark of our country and what I believe and what I believe it was founded on. Right to life. I mean, Heidi and I have been, huge supporters of the right to life. Just the entire world, if you will. We've been, honestly, one of KFL's largest supporters for years, largest donors for years. As a matter of fact, and she was there in Winfield, a Wichitonian, somebody from Wichita there. My sister lives in Derby, by the way. But Julie Samaniego is my treasurer. Yep. And Julie was the treasurer for the Value Them Both campaign. And we're going to fight every single day in office to reduce the number of abortions in the state of Kansas. That is critical to what we do and what we need to lead on. And we're excited about doing that.
What's your stand on school choice? It's another core GOP party platform issue.
Yeah, it is. And I think a lot of people really favor school choice, as do I. I mean, again, I'm somebody that believes in that competition makes everybody going. Now, it does need to work for everybody. I understand that, you know, it can be a little different, you know, if you're in kind of rural Kansas versus suburban Kansas, for example. But at the end of the day, I want people to have choices. I want parents to make the choices for their kids on what's best for them. Heidi and I both grew up in public schools, and I think public schools are a wonderful option for many, many, many Kansans. For others, though, they might want to homeschool their kids. There's obviously a lot of homeschooling that's going on. There's private school choices. And I think the critical piece is we just make it as easy as possible for parents to choose what's right for their children.
Yeah, I love that. And that's really what it should come down to is, and what's funny is the Democrats who are all about choice when it comes to killing kids are opposed to it when it comes to education. So it is funny.
Yeah,
talking to Philip Sarnicky, who is one of the Republican candidates for governor. Phil, let me I want to ask you about a text that many of us have received. I got my wife and I both received it from you about redistricting. Mm-hmm. You've chosen, and I was glad to receive it. I thought it was a wonderfully done. Well done. You've chosen to weigh in on this issue. And it seems to be one that's important to you.
Well, it is, because I think this is an example where, quite honestly, like I said, we have good people, but we need stronger leadership. The idea to me that some of our fellow Republicans are waffling on this or even just choosing to oppose it is very disappointing and very frustrating. And I'll tell you a couple of reasons why and why they need to be stronger as leaders around this is because, you know, if you look around the country, I mean, go to, say, Massachusetts, I believe President Trump won, don't quote me on this, 38% of the vote in Massachusetts. Republicans have zero districts in the state of Massachusetts out of nine, I believe. Democrats have all nine, even though, you know, President Trump won about 30% of the vote. That's all because of redistricting. Go to Oregon. President Trump won about 41% of the vote. And the Republicans have one out of about, I believe it's seven congressional seats in Oregon. That's all because of redistricting. You look at Illinois. The map of Illinois looks like a kindergartner drew it. It's almost funny when you look at how silly it is. All those cases, and I could keep going, are because Democrats have been redistricting for decades. It's one of the ways they have held on to, you know, some of these states congressionally that they have. And so if the Democrats were sitting in the same seat, do you think they wouldn't do this in a heartbeat?
No.
They wouldn't give 2 seconds of thought about doing this. And so it's fair, it's legal, and we need to take advantage of it, and I would have no problem redistricting. Not only would I not have a problem, I think we need to support President Trump, and we need to do this, and we need to get it done. And quite frankly, if our legislature isn't strong enough to get it done, I can promise as governor, I will make sure it gets done, and we will pick up another congressional seat. And, you know, we've invested, you know, a good sum of money to get this message out, and actually we're going to be doing some more. So we think it's important, and we need to play. I mean, I don't like this phrase, but I'm going to use it. We need to play politics as well as the Democrats.
Yep. No, that's a good way of putting it. That's the rules. We need to play by them.
That's right. And again, it's legal. It's fair. I'm not saying obviously doing something illegal or crossing the line, but this isn't. This is sort of politics. And Republicans, one of the reasons we've lost for years and years and years is because we get skittish around stuff like this. And the Democrats don't. They never do. And so we need to step up and lead. And, you know, that's what we're doing right now, even while we're running, investing money in communicating this message. But I can promise as governor, we'll do it soon.
You're going to know this question. I ask it of all candidates because I believe it's essential that we elect solid conservative Republicans this fall. But will you support the Republican nominee regardless? I know you hope it'll be you, but regardless of who it ultimately is in the general.
Yeah, I will. Absolutely. Are all the Republican candidates perfect? No, far from it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be running, you know, in this business leader outsider lane, of which I'm really the only one that can win running in that lane against, you know, extremely career politicians. I mean, in some cases, people who have not had a job outside of politics in over a quarter century, people who have never owned a business in their lives. But that said, are they better than the Democrats? Absolutely. And they're good people. And yes, I would support them. Now, that said, I will say I don't hope I'm going to win. I strongly believe I'm going to win. Otherwise, you know, and I don't mean that to sound, you know, arrogant or anything, but I wouldn't have sold my two largest companies, and we're selling two more, if I didn't believe we were going to win. So we're all in on this. And we expect to be at Cedar Crest come, you know, January of 2027.
Well, it'll be a significant pay cut, I'm sure. Philip, if
yes,
no doubt.
That's OK. You got to serve.
That's right.
You got to serve. That's important.
If folks are interested, and thank you again for joining us this evening. If folks are interested, if they want more information on your campaign, or if they want to volunteer or donate, they can visit philipsarnecki.org, and that's SARNECKI.org, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, very simple.
Philip, I appreciate you, my friend. They can, you're on socials as well, but I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you, if nothing else, we'll see you in January at the convention down here in Wichita.
I can't wait to be there. And by the way, the campaign is about a little over 5 weeks in, but it's going better than we could, you know, even imagine. People are clamoring and are really desperate for, you know, an outsider, a new kind of leader. And we're excited to bring that to the state of Kansas. So thanks for having me, John. Great to be here. And if I don't see you before, we'll, like you said, we'll see you in January.
Well, I know we'll have you on again, and you know, we'll tease the audience. I know you and I have some something special planned for the January event.
And, yes, we do.
You and I are planning something fun. We'll tease them with that for now.
Okay, that's good. And by the way, you did social media, so LinkedIn, and we literally just started our Facebook page, so they can join that. We just started our X page. I had never been on those before, but you know, we're on them, and we're getting a lot of good info out there. So yeah, please follow us, and like you said, go to philipsarnecki.org and join the cause, join the movement. It's exciting, and we're going to bring a new day to the state of Kansas.
Phil, thank you again for joining us. Best of luck, my friend.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
By the way, Phil, I have my, you, Phil, not that Phil, but I have my happiness is a Republican governor bumper sticker on my car. So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll take your calls. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Great folks, great events coming up next Sunday. Don't forget, we'll be broadcasting live from their headquarters at Union Station. We'll do another tete-a-tete, mano-a-mano, with my buddy Dion Leffler. He can call me a racist. And I can explain that since he identifies himself as a Republican, that must make him a racist, too. So we'll take a quick break. And then after the who buzzed my coffee? We'll take a quick break. And then after the top of the hour break, Eric Trump from President of the Trump Organization will be with us. We'll be back right after this.
At her feet, words.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 52
886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Studio lines are open 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. My next guest, Eric Trump, is the executive vice president of the Trump Organization, where he oversees the company's vast global real estate portfolio and leads its strategic growth across luxury hospitality, commercial and residential development, golf, and blockchain ventures. Based in Palm Beach, Florida, Eric plays a central role in all aspects of the business, including acquisitions, financing, design, construction, branding, and all hospitality operations. Eric, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you very much, John. It's great to be on.
So much to talk about. I'm thrilled to death to have you on the show. By the way, I have to tell you, my wife and I have always, been fans of you and your family ever since the Apprentice days. And I've been a delegate for your father at the last three Republican National Conventions. So it's a real pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, thanks for the friendship. I was a delegate at a few of them, so we obviously crossed paths. And at the last convention, I made my father the Republican nominee for president of the United States. It was exactly 48 hours after Butler, as you'll remember. And
yes.
You want to talk about the highs and lows of life? That's certainly one of them.
Yeah, and you know, lows and highs. You all have been through it. And as we sit and look back and reflect, it's so, especially with what we're going through now, in the violence and for lack of a better term, the Trump derangement syndrome. And I think certainly like with the recent shutdown, I personally think that this shutdown really has been more about Trump derangement syndrome and fighting your father's agenda more than healthcare, more than anything else. I just think it's about, we just have to oppose Trump no matter what it is. Don't you agree?
Of course, Sean. I mean, listen, my father could come out tomorrow and say he solved cancer and the radical left would somehow, you know, take issue to it. I mean, actually, Washington, D.C. is almost like the closest example to that, right? I mean, my father goes, listen, I'm sick and tired of the crime and craziness of Washington, D.C. Every day he's having staffers come into the White House. You know, I got beat up on the way to, you know, home. I got, you know, my car was stolen. I got robbed. And he goes, okay, I'm going to do something about it. So, you know, in 12 days, he literally turned Washington from being a crime-infested place to having zero crime. And honestly, the recipe, and no one's really focused on it, was 1,700 arrests. I mean, they arrested 1,700 perpetrators of crime. And guess what? The city went from having many, many, many shootings on an average weekend to having zero, right? And then all of a sudden you look at Pritzker in Chicago, and, you know, my father's like, let's do the same there. Like, we know who the bad ones are. Like, we know who's causing all the crime. You know, you go out and get the worst 0.0001%. We know where these people are. You know, you're going to literally solve all the crime problem in the city. And you know, obviously Pritzker, you know, we will not have them. We will not, you know, we don't want their help. You know, so Chicago has gone to hell over the last 100 years. I know the city very well. I built a big building there. And yet, you know, they're still not willing to accept help, you know, all because it's Donald Trump. Now, if there's anybody else who is doing this, they would gladly take the help. But because it's Donald Trump, you know, they'd much rather see, you know, young people die on an average weekend, 10, 15 of them, then get some help from Trump.
Yeah, it's sad. And you mentioned at the convention that it had been just a few days since the assassination attempt. And that brings to mind the Charlie Kirk assassination. And afterwards, you told Fox News, bullets are only flying one way in America after the Kirk assassination. And, you know, I was hoping that the rhetoric would tone down, but it really hasn't. I mean, we're seeing these radicals in front of ICE staging areas. You're seeing the violence that's still going on. The language really hasn't toned down at all, has it?
No, it hasn't. I wrote a whole book about this that comes out in a couple of days, and it's one of the things we're talking about. But, you know, it's called Under Siege. I mean, they impeached my father twice. They made up a dirty dossier thinking he did the most unthinkable things, that was paid for by Hillary Clinton and perpetrated by the FBI and Christopher Steele and everybody else. They literally made up the whole Russia narrative that we had secret servers at Trump Tower communicating with the Kremlin. They took us off of Instagram. They took us off of Facebook. They took us off of Twitter. They removed my father from the ballots of Maine and in Colorado. They raided our home. They raided Mar-a-Lago. They raided Melania's closet. They raided Barron's room. I became the most subpoenaed person in American history. They weaponized every AG and DA in the country in far left areas of this nation, whether it's Washington, D.C., New York, you know, Fulton County, Georgia. You remember that whole sham. They indicted my father 91 times. I got 112 subpoenas, as I just said, right? The most ever. They came after us. They tried to debank us. They tried to deplatform us, right? I mean, they tried to make sure that we were totally irrelevant, you know, and then they come out and say, we got to take down the rhetoric. They've literally took the last 10 years. I mean, it's the whole point of my book, Under Siege, and by the way, and how we were able to prevail through all of that. But, you know, they tried to bankrupt our family. They tried to kill my father twice, once in Butler, once in Palm Beach. Then they killed Charlie Kirk. Then you saw what they did, obviously, to Steve Scalise. Then you saw what they wanted to do to, you know, to Kavanaugh, you know, and then they come out and I get to hear on NBC News, you know, I wish they would just take down the rhetoric.
Right.
Give me a break. Right. The bullets are only flying in one direction. They're targeting conservatives. They want our voices off that stage. They don't want me on that stage. They don't want my father on that stage. They don't want people with free and independent voice. Hence the reason they gag ordered us about 200 times throughout the entire process. It's really amazing. So I agree. The rhetoric does need to get toned down. It needs to get toned down by the radical left in this country, who's now literally sitting on top of, you know, dormitory, dorms at colleges and with sniper rifles dressed in all black and, you know, shooting over children's heads and, you know, and shooting friends of mine in the neck.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And we just saw recently Jay Jones, the Democrat nominee for attorney general in Virginia, fantasized about killing Republican lawmakers. And yet some Dems refuse to condemn that. I mean, this is how asinine this whole thing has become.
Well, because they've lost the debate, right? I mean, isn't that the real reason? They've lost the debate. And you know, when you can't debate and when you're not on the right side of these issues, what do? They resort to violence. I mean, that's like the Democrats, the radical left, that's their playbook 101. They've always done this. First, there's identity politics. And I spent a lot of time in Under Siege talking about identity politics. But, you know, first was identity, you know, label somebody, label them as a racist, label them as a fascist. It's really interesting that they label us as a fascist. And again, they're shooting us from rooftops, you know, while we exercise free speech, you know, label them as anti-Semitic, label them as sexist. And, you know, the reason the Democratic Party is doing so poorly, the reason we won every swing state, is the reason we won the popular vote, the reason we won, you know, every single state in this country, you know, attacked to the right and did so, you know, in major ways. You know, Miami-Dade County, which hadn't been won by a Republican in 37 years, we won Miami-Dade by 11 points. I mean, we won 11 counties in California,
right,
that had never been won by a conservative before. And So people are starting to see that. The other thing that they're seeing is how corrupt the media has been in this whole process, right? No one had a whole lot of faith in typical, you know, bureaucracy and government. But for a long time, they had faith that the media would at least try and call balls and shots, you know, and balls and strikes. And they haven't. They haven't done any of that. And so what's actually happened in this country is not only, you know, is the Democratic Party the weakest it's ever been. The mainstream media, which was always kind of, you know, their PR department, is by far the weakest it's ever been. Independent voice is as strong as it's ever been. The Republicans actually know how to fight, and we have a country that's winning again. And it's really a beautiful thing to see.
We're talking with Eric Trump, executive vice president of the Trump Organization. Eric, let me ask you a little bit about your home area, your home state, particularly New York City. They're about to hope. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky. But it looks like it's entirely possible that New York City is about to elect a radical socialist as the next mayor. Your family's from New York. Could you ever imagine that the city would actually elect someone so radically left as Mondami? And yet all indications are he's going to be the next mayor.
Yeah, I moved to Florida about 5 years ago. I can't vote in this one. And it was one of the best things I've ever done. I mean, I did it because honestly, they were targeting us every day. And it became, you know, frankly, unbearable. And I didn't want my kids indoctrinated in schools. And, you know, I was seeing, you know, way too much of that happening. But no, it's hard to believe. Listen, there's no family in the world that loves New York more than we do.
Right.
We were raised there. I still run a lot of properties there. A lot of our real estate portfolios in New York. I spend a tremendous amount of time throughout my life, you know, the vast majority of my life I spent in that state. And, you know, in New York, it's very simple. Just keep the streets clean, keep crime away and reduce taxes, try and be competitive with other states. and no one could beat New York. They just couldn't. I mean, it's the capital of the world. It's the capital city of the world. No one does it better than New York in terms of capitalism and business and economy. You know, and then all of a sudden you have a guy coming in. He hates the NYPD. He says he wants to defund the police. He hates the Jews. Literally said he wanted to have Netanyahu arrested if he ever came to New York. He hates the Indian population. Says that Modi is a war criminal. And he wants to nationalize grocery stores. Literally, you've got some of the biggest minds and best minds in business, in the history of business, who have popped up, grocery companies, grocery stores, and not been successful with them, right? Because it's a very tough business, right? You've got food waste, you've got spoilage, you've got massive inventory, you've got inventory that depletes very quickly. And yet Mondami somehow in his infinite wisdom wants to give it to the bureaucrats in New York City to somehow, compete against private industry. Like I think not, right. That's going to fail in about 3.5 seconds at a massive cost to New York taxpayers. I just don't understand it. Like, why can't we just have some normalcy? Why does everything need to be a social experiment? Why can't we focus on low taxes? Why can't we focus on great education? Why can't we focus on clean streets? And why can't we focus on just making sure that there's no crime? And then let the system do what it will do better than any place in the world, which is we've got the greatest entrepreneurs in the world. We've got the best business people in the world in the United States. Let them do what they do best. And New York would be unstoppable. And instead, you know what happens? Everybody like me ends up moving from New York and they go to Florida. And 3 weeks later, DeSantis is talking about how he's going to eliminate all property tax in the state of Florida because they're rolling in so much money. I mean, all of that money came from New York State. I mean, think about how sad that is for a state that everybody loves and everybody thinks is amazing and is so revered around the world. It's such a shame, and it could be fixed so easily.
Yeah, it's like people who are going through alcoholism or something like that. Sometimes you have to hit the bottom. And maybe that's what's going to have to happen with New York. Maybe they're just going to have to hit rock bottom before they can figure out how messed up they are. I want to get to the book, Eric, but first I've got to ask you, I've seen so many things as I've followed your family and followed your father and the business successes. What's the next great innovation coming from the Trump Organization? Is it Trump Mobile? I've heard so many things that you guys are thinking of. What's the next great thing coming out of the Trump Organization?
That's the easiest question I've gotten all day, and I think it's cryptocurrency. And I spent a lot of time in Under Siege talking about it, but we were the most deplatformed company in the world. We were debanked by everyone. Capital One was by far the worst. They took 300 accounts in the middle of the night from us like we were dogs. I mean, these are for golf courses. These are for hotels. I get a call, congratulations, Eric, all your accounts are going to be shut down, and it was all because my father wore a hat that said, make America great again. And I realized how absolutely corrupt, how inefficient, how slow the current, the modern financial industry is. And I got involved with cryptocurrency, and I've never had a project that I believed in more. Cryptocurrency, it's faster, it's better, it's more transparent, it's cheaper. In every way than the modern financial system, right? I mean, why is it that every Friday I'm waiting for a wire transfer, on SWIFT to come through? And if it's not sent by 5 o'clock on a Friday, zero chance you get in until late in the day on Monday, right? I mean, why is it that everybody listening to us who's ever gotten financing on a home, it took them 90 days with their bank, right? They banked with their bank for 25 years and it takes them 90 days to go get a home mortgage, and somebody's pushing papers and they fee you to death. All of that's changed with cryptocurrency. You can move money instantaneously, 24 hours a day. You can do it better, cheaper, faster, much more transparently, wallet to wallet, without people's fingers, in the pie. And so I'm the biggest believer in crypto. I started a company called American Bitcoin. I've never been more proud of it. We just got listed on the NASDAQ last week. We have the fastest growing stable coin on Earth. It's called War Liberty Financial. And, if you look back in 5 years, a cryptocurrency is going to replace the traditional financial system in this country and around the world. And I'm proud to be on the front end of that.
Wow. Fascinating. OK, well, there you go, folks. There's a tip for you. Go check it out. The book is called Under Siege, My Family's Fight to Save the Nation. It's number one on Amazon, by the way. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, this has been my pet project for the last year and a half. I came up with that name, before my father was shot at in Butler, or shot, I should say shot at, in Butler. and certainly before Charlie Kirk. And it was the weaponization of government toward our family and our movement. And, you know, they tried to destroy us. They tried to destroy, you know, the vast majority of people listening to us. They tried to deplatform us. They tried to imprison us. They tried to bankrupt us. They tried to do everything. And because we had a loud voice and because we were right on the issues and because, you know, my father created the greatest movement that's ever been created in American politics. And, you know, because we were willing to fight together as a family, we won and they lost. And so it's a story of entrepreneurialism. It's a story of a family. It's a fight. It's a story of the birth of a movement and you know, a movement that was so dedicated to save America, to save God, to save religion and faith in this country, to save our Constitution, to save the American flag, you know, to end DEI and wokeness, to make sure that, you know, men my size weren't swimming in collegiate women's sports. I mean, you know, to restore family values and everything that we love about the United States of America. And so it came out 3 weeks ago. I announced it 3 weeks ago, went right to the top of Amazon. We're winning in every category. And, you know, it's really beautiful to see. It's beautiful to see people come out and, you know, give the amount of support. I mean, people are really voting with their pocketbooks on this one. And it's been so much fun to do. And I wrote every word. It's not, you know, no ghostwriters and nonsense. I wrote every word and I put my heart and soul into it. And, I can tell you, Johnny, it's going to piss a lot of people off. It's going to piss a lot of people in the mainstream media off. It's going to piss a lot of people in the establishment off. Believe me, they're not thrilled that I'm writing this.
Well, you know what? That's never heard that before. A Trump that was willing to piss off the mainstream media and the establishment. That's never happened before.
We somehow do it pretty well.
Again, it's called Under Siege, My Family's Fight to Save the Nation. You can find it. Again, it's number one on Amazon. If they want to connect with you, I follow you on X. You're at Eric Trump and, of course, ErikTrump.com, correct?
ErikTrump.com.
Eric, thank you again for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Great honor.
All right, folks. Next up, we'll see if we can get one of the Dons. We're working it. We're working our way up. We'll take a quick break, and then Brett Anderson will join us to discuss his campaign for Wichita City Council District 6. Brett, you got an act to follow. Tough act to follow there, my friend. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, next Sunday, we will be doing our live broadcast from the headquarters of AFP Kansas, right here downtown Wichita at the Union Station. Great folks at AFP. They'll be hosting us. If you're looking for a way to get involved in the local elections or coming up in the fight to get how our Supreme Court judges are selected, they're a great way to get involved. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. Well, as I've mentioned already, if you're trying to figure out where to vote, how to vote, and who to vote for, District 6, one of our two local elections that we're really focusing on here, in addition to the school board, we've got our two city council races. Joining us now is one of our two candidates, Brett Anderson. He is running for District 6. He graduated from Pittsburgh State University with a Phil is raising his hand. You must be a Pittsburgh State grad.
My brother is a graduate of Pittsburgh State University.
So we've got another gorillas.
Once a gorilla, right? Always
there
a gorilla.
There you go. So look at that. I even know what that is. I didn't even know they were the gorillas. He's got a BS in engineering technology. I have a BS as well in political science. I like to say I have a BA in BS, so I can relate a little bit. In engineering technology, he's lived on the north side of Wichita for almost two decades. Brad, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Good to be here, John.
So, I'll start with the easy one. Why? I mean, what, you know, this is a tough. The slings and arrows that come with running for political office, why subject yourself?
Yeah, it's a politics or a filthy business. I know. So, yeah, once we had the issue with COVID and then the stolen election 2020, you could just see the heavy hand of government coming down on people. And I felt like it was time to get involved. We worked to learn everything that we could learn. We tried to make a difference. We tried to get our needs heard. And then, you know, you eventually learn that to get what you want to get, you have to have a seat at the table. So here we are.
Well, and you're running against Maggie. And she's, you know, I mean, she's nice enough. It's like, you know, when we talked with Genevieve last week, you know, I mean, Mike Hoheisel's a nice enough guy. Maggie Ballard's nice enough, but she's so far left, she's coming around the other side. And there's that means that there's a whole bunch of folks that are just not represented.
Yeah, it's a it's not personal. Nothing's personal. This is all business. And we I don't feel like that some of the things that us conservatives.
Well, even moderates. Like I mean, Maggie's never seen a tax increase That's true. Doesn't like.
That's true.
She voted for the $600,000 porta potties.
Correct.
She's one of those that thinks that, you know, even in a budget shortfall, we should be spending 2% of the city's budget on art. And I mean, we're all for art. Art's fine, especially if you're sitting on buckets of cash. But when folks are being taxed out of their homes, maybe that's not the time to be putting up more art.
Yeah, no, boils down to needs versus wants. Let's do the needs first, and then if we have extra, okay, let's do it then. But the needs come first.
You know, one of the areas I know it's something that it affects a lot of parts of the city. District 6, how does a homeless area, the community, how does homelessness affect District 6 as compared to some of the other areas?
Yeah, it has become worse. Of course, they opened the MAC there last year and all
that's the $1 deal, right?
Yes, $1.
Not good use of taxpayer money there.
But as services increase and you try to help, the population of homeless will increase as well. So it's a never ending battle, but it's something that has to be addressed. And I think the people that live there and the businesses that are in business there, they don't really deserve to be inundated with that day in and day out.
But see, even the MAC, I mean, I like the idea. I like the concept. We have to do something. But there's an idea. You know, if we're spending money on $600,000 potties and percentage of the budget going to art when we could be dealing with homelessness, we could be dealing with crime, we could be dealing with fire and infrastructure, it's like you said, it's priorities.
Correct. Yeah, and this is the thing, too, on those two pieces with the bathrooms and the ARC, that's just a example. Earlier this year, you saw the lack of maintenance that they did on the city-owned parking garages.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So it's just deferred maintenance. We don't know. And then when Lily would ask questions, she could not get an answer. The answer was, I do not know. So there's just a lot that needs to be shored up.
Does District 6 include the Crown Uptown? Is that part of you?
No.
But that's another example.
Correct.
You know, property rights, and the reason I bring this up is because on Tuesday, they're taking up this rent control, preferred class, you know, special classes nonsense where they're trying, and don't get me wrong, I think we have to make sure the landlords are taking care of their property and that people are, you know, if I'm paying rent, if I'm renting a home that or an apartment, I should expect to have my rental property taken care of. But all of that being said, I don't know as the city needs to be picking winners and losers and creating special classes of rental rights. This is not a role for government.
Yeah, it's not. It's like what Eric Trump said in the prior segment. Government needs to step back and let the professionals do their job.
Yeah, good point.
And I think that would help both nationally and Wichita as well. Also, on Tuesday, they are speaking about the international code enforcement. I don't know why here in Wichita, Kansas, we need to worry about what the international people are doing. I think that is a dangerous idea, and I'm not so sure that we need to be involved with that.
No, it's like earlier this year or last year, they were all about the UN and getting climate, you know, they were having UN climate codes. I'm like, why are we worrying about, you know, the UN telling us about buses and climate justice and all that nonsense? And again, this is where Maggie and Mike Hoheisel and Brandon Johnson and sadly Becky Tuttle, why they're so focused on global solutions instead of Wichita, Kansas solutions.
Yeah, it's if you pay attention, it has gotten to where the global stuff has crept into every time they go to a meeting, a national meeting, international meeting and stuff. The one that they had last week, I think that was about the highways and
right
the structures and stuff. like the first or second presenter was from the World Economic Forum,
right,
and they talked about it with Klaus Schwab. I mean, it was right there. It's right there in your face, and it has crept into every aspect of government now.
We're talking with Brett Anderson, who's running for Wichita City Council District 6. You know, Wichita neighborhoods sometimes feel disconnected from these decisions made at City Hall. And I think one of the keys is for City Council folks to stay responsive and accountable to their constituents. I think it's an area that Maggie, I think, has struggled with. And I think that's one of the things. I know you've been out door knocking. You've been talking with folks. What are you hearing when you're at the doors?
You talk about the disconnect. A lot of people don't really know what goes on at the city. I mean, they may have a local problem, like the roads are bad. They have a property that's overgrown or full of trash. But the core issues about what goes on at the city, most of the public don't know. And I think it's just fear. And then it's you know, like we said before, politics is dirty and nasty, and people just
right.
don't want to get involved in it.
Well, and the biggest issue I come back to is spending and taxes. Yep. And when folks are being taxed out of their homes because property taxes keep going up, property valuations keep going up, and again, you're struggling to make your property, make your mortgage payment or making your rent payment, and then you see these largesse, you know, the spending on art or shitters or whatever it is. When you're spending on that and I can't make my mortgage payment or my rent payment, that's when I feel like some of these elected officials are disconnected.
Yeah, and I would say that if you were to ask them face to face, they'd say, yeah, but for whatever reason, they don't have the political will when they're in that position.
Yeah.
To make that decision.
Be it donors or whatever it is.
Or just
being generally out of touch. Well, Brett, I wish you the best of luck, my friend. If folks, I know, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time. Advanced ballots have already gone out. You know, in-person advanced ballots advanced voting is getting ready to start. If folks want more information about your campaign, if they want to volunteer or donate, they can visit at Anderson4Wichita.com, and that's the number 4, correct?
That's correct.
Buddy, I wish you the best of luck. I know it's an uphill battle. This is actually a 3-person race. You got two radical liberals and one
and the good guy.
And a good guy. That's a good way of putting it. Brett, I wish you, again, it's Anderson4Wichita.com.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you.
Good luck, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then a veteran broadcaster, Chris Salcido, will join us to tell us why today's current Hispanic population may actually be a benefit to Republicans because they're awake, not woke. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, you can also listen to KNSS on the Odyssey iHeartRadio or TuneIn apps. And, of course, follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, for decades, leftists in the media and the Democrat Party, leftists, you know, Democrat, kind of synonymous, have tried to sell a simple equation. To be Latino is to be liberal. They've claimed that any resistance to their anti-American agenda, whether it's open borders or defunding the police or any of that stuff, is racist. Well, actually, that may not be playing out. With us now to tell us why he says today's current Hispanic population is the leftist's worst nightmare is Chris Salcedo. He's author of The Rise of the Liberty-Loving Latino, A New American Revolution. He's a veteran television and radio broadcaster, political analyst, and podcaster, who is also a proud Latino conservative. Chris, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
John, it's great to be with you. Thank you, man.
So you tell me, is the left's grip on minority communities slipping? It seems like we're, I mean, especially after this most recent election, it seems like that may be the case.
So I think it is among the Latino community in particular, but also there's a great black awakening happening. And I think it's because of the word we've all been conditioned to use that you just used, minority. You know, a lot of us are starting, you know, there's nothing minor about me. I'm an American.
It's Amen.
The minority, yeah, the minority view in this country are these people that have been out there doing this whole no kings business over the weekend. The minority, which is, by the way, time immemorial, the minority has been leftists, those who seek to rule, an elite few that seek to rule over the masses. That's the real minority in this country. And I think a lot of folks who are so-called people of color, another term I'm not really fond of, Latinos, blacks, they're starting to wake up to that fact.
Well, I think, you know, two other things here that may be a factor. One, I think people are tired of all kinds, are tired of race being played. I think it's dismissive of minorities, and I think it's also people are tired of being called racist. But the other factor is the Democrat Party has just assumed these votes could be taken for granted, haven't they?
Sure, they have. And by the way, the race card you mentioned, it's expired, I think, with the election of Barack Hussein Obama for two terms. I think that ship has sailed. It's over. It's done. So the left wing really is, I think you can map this out, how they've chewed up and spit out, and we talk about this in the book quite extensively. They've chewed up and spit out every perceived, aggrieved individual or group out there they can find. And now that they've done that, they're running out of folks, hence the massive illegal immigration campaign to create a new set of victims that they can exploit. But even that's not working out.
Well, and I think people are also tired of identity politics. I mean, you know, yes. Look, we're all Americans. Why can't we just be Americans? People are just so tired of, oh, I have to be a this or I have to be. I'm Scottish American. Why can't I just be American? You know, it's like, quit that bull crap and just let's just be people. Why do we always have to find some reason to be a victim?
Well, that's why I adopted the moniker Liberty Loving Latino, because, you know, for the longest time, CNN, MSNBS, all the rest of them had invested millions of dollars and decades, 10 years upon 10 years of trying to convince everybody, hey, if you're black, you must be a liberal. If you're Latino, you must be a leftist. It's not the case. So I came up with the moniker Liberty Loving Latino to basically illustrate, hey, guess what? In the Latino community, there are differences of opinion, too. Just like in the black community, there are differences of opinion, too. It's just like America writ large. So can we please stop with the identity politics. A lot of folks don't get the reason why I created it, but that's the reason why. It's to basically show folks out there, you know what, just because you happen to be a Latino doesn't mean you're all on board with massive, uncontrolled illegal immigration and the like.
We're talking with veteran broadcaster Chris Salcedo. So, Chris, you know, I in addition to many roles that I wear, one of them is chairman of a Republican Party here in Sedgwick County. How do Republicans then capture your liberty-loving Latinos? How do we, for lack of a better term, weaponize the vote? How do we get them to turn out for Republicans at election time?
John, I speak at Republican groups, conservative groups all the time. Invariably, that's the question I get. How do we, quote unquote, do outreach to Latinos? And I always tell them, I say, well, first off, Democrats do outreach. What is outreach? I just want you to picture this in your mind's eye. You're the person that is asking something, reaching out their hands with their palms upward, right? That's outreach. And they want your vote in exchange for false promises, basically.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But what I tell Republicans or conservatives, why don't you extend your hand out in the handshake position? That's a partnership. Don't do outreach. Do partnership in the Latino community. And the number one thing I can tell all folks who are conservatives, who are Republicans, not just Republican, but conservatives who are Republican, and I always say to this to the whole crowd, okay, everybody, get your pad and pencil ready. I'm going to give you the secret sauce. This is how you appeal to Latinos. And invariably, these people take their pads and their pencils out, and they're about ready to scratch feverishly about what I'm about ready to say. And I say, talk to them. Just take your conservative ideas are superior to anything the left wing is offering. Just go and bring your message to the Latino community. They'll listen as long as they can sense you're earnest. And most of the time, most conservatives are.
Yeah, and I love the way you phrase that. In fact, I may have to set up a time for you to come speak to our party, because it does make sense, and we can't be afraid to reach out. So often, I think too often, Republicans are afraid to reach out to the Latino community or any minority community for that matter, and we shouldn't be. We can't afford to be. The book, again, is called The Rise of Liberty-Loving Latinos, A New American Revolution. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know, this is, again, my moniker. It was I sunk a lot of myself into this, and I developed it when I got out of news. I got into the Chris Salcedo Show on radio, Chris Salcedo Show on television, first on The Blaze, then on Newsmax. And so basically this book is a culmination of about 15 years of all the stuff I've been gathering since then, trying to make this case that really the home for the Latino community inside of America has been in the conservative realm. And then I couched it in my interview just before the election with President Trump and the things that we had discussed. So that's kind of how I set up the book, launch it. And then it's kind of in that framework of, because I got to be honest with you, John, if there was no place for Latinos to turn after the Democrats went bat guano crazy, after they went nuts and turned off Hispanics, if there was no place for us to go, they just probably wouldn't have just shown up. But Trump, unlike the Republican Party, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan and the like, unlike the establishment Republicans, Trump gave Hispanics and Latinos and disenfranchised blacks a place to go, an America First coalition. And that's key. And we outline all that in the book.
Well, again, it's called The Rise of Liberty, of the Liberty-Loving Latino, A New American Revolution. They can find it, I'm sure, on Amazon or at chrissalcedo.com. And you're on X at C Salcedo Show, correct?
Correct. And you know what? Just go to chrissalcedo.com and you can find the links to all the social media hookups. And right now, folks, the book drops on December 9th. Pre-order right now. You can save yourself a couple of bucks because my publisher will love you forever. And yeah, that's December 9th. You know how it works, John. You know,
oh, yeah.
The pre-sale thing. So anyway, yeah. So folks, you can pre-order right now, and it's a good gift for the liberty lover in your life.
Brother, I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us, my friend.
John, it's a personal book for me. As I said, can't tell you how much I appreciate the invitation.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Studio lines are open. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, next Sunday, we'll be broadcasting our live remote performance, remote show. That's kind of a
I like that.
Yeah, you know, at the headquarters of Americans for Prosperity Kansas downtown at the Union Station. So we will be, I'll have another tete-a-tete with Dion Leffler, the opinion editor from the Wichita Eagles. So that'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to that.
Already created the Facebook event on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, so you can find out more information. We'll update that throughout the week, so go there for more information.
Very nice. Real quickly, we've got about a minute or so. Yep. Tell me about a fundraiser.
That's right. Cedric County Republican Party, just about to announce, we'll put more information out this week. But we are going to do a very cool fundraiser coming up in November. This is going to be Thursday, November 13th at 7 p.m. The Sedgwick County Republican Party is hosting a bourbon and cigar tasting event.
You had me at bourbon.
I had me at cigars.
Cigar.
So it works out. But Congressman Ron Estes is our host for the evening. He'll be our I don't know if he's going to be the bourbon or cigar or both, but he's our MC, our master of ceremonies for the evening. It's very exclusive at the Candle Club. So it's limited to first 100 people. So it's very exclusive, very cool event. There'll be more information on the Sedgwick County Republican Party's website coming up in the next week or so. But 4 whiskeys, 2 cigars, and food. Very cool event. It's all included in the price. It'll be $85 a person, but it's a very cool, unique event. So whiskey and cigar tasting plus food. Very cool event. So great event. Have a great week, folks. In the meantime, carry on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.